I'd like to dedicate the Divrei Torah to all those who are in need of refuah, all those who are in need of healing after the horrific tragedy that happened in Meron, all those also for a nechama, for all those who not only are in need of refuah, but lost someone. It's a horrific tragedy, and it's really a crazy thing to think about on a day that was supposed to be a holiday. And hopefully our Divrei Torah today can bring some of a consolation, or at least aliyah to their neshamos. Okay, I wanted to talk about the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer. It's a nice confluence of the Parsha Shavua, which has the Parsha Samoedim, talks about Sfiras HaOmer. It's also Lag BaOmer. I'd like to use the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer as sort of a demonstration of the depths and the multi-layered meanings of Torah. And I think that's part of when we read about Rav Shimon bar Yochai, it's Lag BaOmer. He's someone who is so clearly steeped in the world of halacha. I think they say he's the fourth most quoted Tana in all of Shas. I mean, you can barely read a daf of Gemara without reading of the opinion of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And also, he's come to be known as someone who is the father of mystical wisdom. And I think almost every mitzvah, every in the Torah, sort of has a window. For those who are, I guess, more interested in practical sort of instruction and inspiration, and for those who want something more profound, I guess we'll say. So Sfiras Omer is no different. If you look in the context of the actual mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, it seems very much to be a bridge between two karbanos. There's the karban Omer that we bring on Macharas Shabbos, the second day of Pesach, second night of Pesach. That's why we call it Sfiras HaOmer. It's counting from the Omer. And then you count for, really, 4 to 9 days until the 50th day, which is when you bring the Karban Shtei HaLechem on the holiday of Shavuos. So, on a simple level, it's sort of bridging that gap. The question exactly is, why? Why do we have to do this counting in order to arrive at this 50th day? So, I want to go from the most practical, literally the most practical and not particularly inspiring, frankly, to the more profound and inspiring and something that hopefully can shape the way we think about these days. Looking again at this first source, source Aleph, for Tem Lechai Machar Shabbos, you shall count from the day after Shabbos. This is, as you may know, is a whole controversy between the Tzidukim and the Pirushim regarding how do you interpret the words after the Shabbos. The Tzidukim thought that it meant literally the day after whichever Shabbos happened to happen that year. There are many interpretations as to why we don't agree with that, either because it's almost like nonsensical. Why would it change based on the year? Or Shabbos sometimes refers to Yom Tov, but I don't want to get into that now. So you count from the day after Pesach, the first day of Pesach, essentially. Mivoya from the day you bring this Omer of that you wave, Sheva Shabbosos, seven complete weeks. Until the day after the seventh week, you will count 50 days. And then you bring the new Kar Mincha, which is the Shei HaLechem. So it's clearly bridging this time between the two. What is the purpose of doing that? The Torah was a very, in his interpretation, or one of his explanations he provides on this pasuk, says something very practical. Maybe some explain the reasoning for counting from the Omer is because it's the time of the harvest. Va'om Trudin, people are busy. They're not going to be around in their houses to hear the messengers of Beis Din that go out. They're not going to know when Rosh Chodesh was. And that's why they made them count. And that's why they do it during the night, because people are sort of, busy during the day. Meaning, to remind people when Shavuos is. It's as simple as that. It's almost like the ancient way of that email reminder you get every night to count Sfiras HaOmer, which is a very good thing to do, by the way. That's what this was. This is like, remember, it's this many days after Pesach, so that means that today is Rosh Chodesh, and you don't want to forget which Shavuos is. So that's, it's noteworthy that the Torah goes out of its way to sort of help people who they acknowledge are busy and sort of dealing with work and don't have time necessarily, or may not have the presence of mind to be aware of everything that's happening at the time in the Jewish calendar. But that's simply it. It's very practical and pragmatic. That's the first approach. Another approach sort of relates to this as in its agricultural context. And this is an important thing to note, that generally we have many different ways of referring to the Moedim and different motifs that we associate with them. But from the context in Emor, it seems to clearly be an agricultural context, right? It talks about from the beginning when you begin the harvest season, it's very clearly focused on the process of harvesting grain. It talks about that's why you have the Isra Chadash, you can't eat from the new crop until after you bring the Karban Omer. It's clearly very agriculturally oriented. And the Sforno says that's not for no reason, because in those times that was really their livelihood. And the Moedim are sort of there generally. The holidays are there to sort of gear people's emotions, the suspense, the happiness, that success, all toward God. That's what they're there to do. That's why on Shavuos we're essentially it's Yom HaBikurim, and also Chag HaKatzir when we do the harvest. It's a way of thanking Hashem, he says. But what's this point of Sfiras Omer? Sfiras Omer is sort of when you're in the balance, right? Aviv, Pesach is when things just begin to bloom. Shavuos is when hopefully they already grew and you want to harvest them. Sfiras Omer is when things are hanging in the balance. You don't know whether or not you're going to be successful. And therefore, Sforno says, Me'az hilchil katzir be'omer u'sfiras hashvuos shehem me'in achag anikar chag katzir. From that time, the harvesting begins and the counting of the weeks from that holiday, which is called the holiday of harvesting. Part of the purpose of holidays is prayer and thanksgiving. That part of the purpose of the holiday of spring, meaning it's interesting, we call it Chag HaMatzos and Chag HaAviv. So obviously part of the purpose of Pesach is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. No one's denying that. But the purpose of defining it as Chag HaAviv is because it's also sort of a point in the agricultural cycle that's really important. And when that happens, it's Tefillah Kel Aviv Odal Cherut, right? We're praying to God for the spring and thanking Him for freedom. Since generally, based on the season, the beginning of the harvest season is between the spring and when you Shavuos, right? These are the weeks of the harvest time that he kept for us. Haya Omer Hodal Aviv. The Omer is thanking God for the spring. Like someone who be like Bikurim, like someone who brings the first of their fruits to the owner. Vahaya Hakarban Imalit Fila Asid, and the carbons is a prayer for the future that it continues to grow. Haitasfira Zikaron Filas Yom Yom. Similar to the Arach, but a bit, I think, more profound, that Sfira is a reminder to daven every single day. Vayachaga Kotzer Hodala Tova Chotzer Vachaga Siva Tova Asif. So essentially, it's like constant thanking and also praying for more. We thank Hashem it's spring and things are being sprouted, but we need more. We need a successful harvest season. Every day, we count the Omer to remind ourselves to continue davening so that we continue to feel that success and then ultimately get to Shavuos. And again, we thank Hashem for the successful harvest. So it's very agriculturally oriented. And practically, we're praying to Hashem for Hatzlacha, praying to Hashem for success in our endeavors in harvesting the field. Okay. Beyond the agricultural meaning and symbolism of the holiday, and probably clearly the most commonly associated theme with Shavuos is that of Matan Torah, though it's not explicitly mentioned in the text, but that we celebrate Shavuot as Zman Matan Torah Tenu, and that has its own identity. And the Sefer HaChinuch and others describe in different ways, as we'll see, how the point of Sfiras HaOmer is sort of to bridge the gap between Pesach and Shavuos in terms of the spiritual process, right? That when we left Mitzrayim, that was step one, that was the beginning. We left Chirus, we had a certain amount of freedom, but that wasn't the end of the process. That wasn't the sort of, okay, we're now fully finished products, we left Egypt, we're ready to go. No. It's just the beginning. Pesach is only the beginning of a process which culminates in Shavuos, and on the Chag HaShavuot as the time where we receive the Torah. And the purpose of Sfiras HaOmer and the days in between is to continue on that process, to ready ourselves, to sort of remove the impurities that we were exposed to in Egypt, in Mitzrayim, and to slowly and carefully ready ourselves to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. So the Sefer Chinuch, I think, is one of the first who mentions this, but it's, you know, a pretty common theme. And he writes as follows: Mishar Shia Mitzvah, the reasoning for the Mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer is Al Tzav Shalaf, you should call Ikar Anshe Yisraelu Ela Ela HaTorah. The whole purpose of Israel is for the Torah. V'nei HaTorah Nivru Shemayim V'aretz, the whole world was created for the Torah. K'mo Shekasim Lo Brisi Yom V'Laila Chukas Shemayim V'aretz Lo Samtzi, says God, if it weren't for my covenant day and night, I wouldn't have established the heavens and earth. It is the main reason that they were redeemed and left Egypt. It was only so that they could accept the Torah and fulfill it. That when Moshe meets with Hashem to discuss how he's going to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, Hashem says, this is the sign that when you leave Egypt, you're going to serve God on this mountain. That's why you're doing it. Perash HaPachsuk, Hotziyacho Otam Mitzrayim, Yilach Ala'o Shatab Masokim Harazat. That, what does it mean? It will be a sign that what we're looking forward to, the main celebration, is actually what happens to our Sinai. When you leave Egypt, that will be a sign that you're ultimately going to get the Torah. Klomar, Shatab Torah, Sheikra Godosh Shabazvil Hem Nigalim. That you will get the Torah, which is the main reason that they are being redeemed. He tachlis atovah shalem, is the ultimate good for them. It's more important than being free from slavery. Leaving Mitzrayim is a sign for receiving the Torah, because the main thing is receiving the Torah. Meaning, it's a sort of the... Explain this. It's a very strange thing. Moshe says, you know what the sign is that you're gonna that I sent you? When you leave Mitzrayim, you're gonna serve Hashem in Har Sinai. Now on a simple level, that makes no sense. What do you mean? Bnei Yisrael want to know that Moshe is really there to take them out of Mitzrayim. So he has to prove it. So what does he do? He says, well, after I take you out, I'm gonna go to Har Sinai and you're gonna get the Torah. What kind of sign is that? That's not a sign. I don't even believe, how do I know that you're actually gonna take me out? How can you prove that you're going to take me out of Mitzrayim and God sent you based on something that will happen later? But the point that Mechamech HaSmech is not that. It's not that. But what he's saying is that you will see what I'm really telling you is, I'm not here just to take you out of Mitzrayim. I'm here to make you the Am HaNivchar, to bring you to your spiritual purpose, to bring you to Har Sinai. That's the goal here. How do you know I'm actually going to do that? Well, after we do all the miracles, after everything associated with Mitzias Mitzrayim happens and you leave Egypt, then you'll know that, oh wow, the ultimate destination is going, we're going to get there. So the Mitzias Mitzrayim is an os on Kabbalah Satorah. Then the Chinuch says, therefore, this is the point of Sfiras HaOmer. Right? Because of this, since it is the main purpose of Bnei Yisrael, and that's why they redeemed, that by counting every single day, it demonstrates our yearning and longing for the day that we'll finally get this great object on this honorable day. It's as if it's a servant who's longing to be free. Every day he counts toward the day that he's finally going to be free. And by counting, it shows that a person is, his whole desire is to get to the destination. Why is it that we're counting upwards and not downwards? Because we're not going from, we're going to. We're counting to. I want to get to a point. So you read on the rest of it, and he says, it's interesting, interesting question that they always, that many of us ask, why don't we count from Pesach itself then? Why don't we count from Pesach itself? And the Chinuch says, because you don't want to dilute the Simcha of Pesach. It's almost like, I think, this interesting balance, where there's this very clear, bold claim that just freedom in and of itself, just being free from slavery, that's not the point. That's not an in and of itself. What the point is to reach the Torah. The point is to reach our spiritual destiny. But we also can't take away from the significance of Pesach, and therefore we count from the day afterwards. So it's this balance. But that's but again, then the purpose of Sfiras HaOmer is to show how excited we are to reach the Kabbalas HaTorah. The Maharal, in a drasha here, and there's a lot to say about this, but the Maharal, I think, takes it a step further to not just point out that this is what we want to get to, but to point out that the job isn't done. The point here is almost to say that it's upon us to continue this process. We're not finished products yet. We need to do more. And that's what he writes here. He's commenting on the notion that Adam la'amal yula, the person is created for toil. And he says, Nesha nivra Adam la'amal, since a person is created for toil, to work, to improve themselves. Therefore, Bnei Yisrael were commanded to count from the day after Pesach. There, God redeemed them from no longer being slaves. That they should begin preparing for receiving the Torah by counting these days that go by. Until they're ready to accept the Ol, the yoke of Torah and Mitzvos. So that they shouldn't say we're completely free now that God took us out of slavery. As long as a person is on this world, they're never completely free. They're there, we're here to toil and to keep working. So it's almost like a contrast. You're not free in the sense you can do whatever you want. You specifically, after we achieve political freedom, now you begin working. Now you begin counting. Now the hard work begins. Adam la'amal yulad. We're here for toil. And that's sort of the notion. So regarding this sort of preparatory period between Pesach and Shavuot, you have another notion, and this is where we get from more, you know, I guess we started very practically and pragmatically we went to the realm of the agricultural meaning and thanking Hashem for what He's given us to preparing for Matan Torah, and here we get to sort of the mystical realm or the ritual realm of impurity and purity, Tumah and Tara, where you have those many, and based on the Zohar, maybe we'll read some of that, because it is Lag BaOmer after all, that connect the 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer. It's 7 days and each day in week and then 7 weeks to the process of purity we find in other areas of Lach, like for the Tumas Nida, that someone who is a Zava, really, someone who is impure before they can return to their husband, a woman needs to count 7 complete clean days. It's Sfiras Shivanikin. Shivanakim, she needs to have clean days where she's no longer seeing blood and she's completely pure. And that there's a certain tumah, impurity associated with the Jewish people when they were in Mitzrayim, that they had to rid themselves of. And Pesach is the day when they sort of stop the tumah, but even after the tumah stops, you need 7 weeks dedicated toward purity and purifying oneself until we're ready to receive the Torah. And the truth is that the Zohar really brings this in a very poignant, poetic way, in that that really makes the comparison between the Chasana and the Kala, or husband and wife, and Klal Yisrael and Akash Baruch Hu, that Har Sinai is this sort of chuppah. It's this wedding canopy that Bnei Yisrael are reaching, are approaching, and you need to purify yourself before you get there. Says the Orachan, or even the Orachan Kodesh, from the Zohar, says the Orachan and Sfar Svav, Omer lachem latzad sheyitzav Hashem lisbar sheva shabaso. So Hashem commands us to count 7 days, 7 weeks. Omer zak latzad shei betumas mitzrayim. Chazal say, he's quoting the Zohar, which we'll get to. Since they were in the impurity of Egypt, v'ratzah Hashem lizdaveg l'umazu. Hashem wanted to connect with this nation. Damba kemishmat nida shadina lisbar zayin akiyim. He judged her as if she were a nida, ritually impure, from menstrual impurity, that she needs to count 7 clean days. But tziva sheyis b'rizayin shavuos va'az yiyu mechshar machnisim kal l'chupa. That they need to count these 7 days and then they'll be prepared to bring the bride into the chuppah. Va'agam kisham zayin yamim v'kan zayin shavuos. Even though there it was 7 days, here it's 7 weeks. Let's say flogas atoma, because they were so impure. Be'gam ha'yosem mecholos Yisrael. And it was the whole entire nation, not just one individual person. Shir atzmim deyin kikei mishpata. He calculated this was the rule. This was what they needed. And the Zohar says this, again, in a similar but very poetic way. It says this Zohar and Zion, Ezvartan lachem ha'chashabas pekuda da, this commandment, lisbar sira sa'omer, to count sira sa'omer, ha'o kimna v'raza da Yisrael, afagad v'istach l'meva pischa, v'nafgu misavu, even though they already brought the carbon Pesach. And they left Tumah, lo havishlimin v'dachin k'dakchazi. They weren't completely pure as was necessary. V'adah lav hilal gomor b'yom nepischa. That's why we don't say halal gomor. We say chatzi halal on Pesach. Because it wasn't complete. Da'akam lo ishtilimu k'dakayas. Because at that point they weren't completely pure. I mean, he must mean that after the first day of Pesach, we no longer say full halal. K'da itza d'nafka mimisavu, v'chemu d'nafka mitam l'halal v'safrala. Like a woman who leaves impurity, but even when she leaves, from then on she has to count. Afach Yisrael kanafki Mitzrayim nafku misavu v'adu Pesach. L'mecha b'psora da'avuhon, to eat the bread that they left Mitzrayim, they brought the Pesach, to eat the bread of their father. U'mitam l'hala yad l'chushbina, from then they make accounting. L'mikrav itza l'bala, to bring the wife to her husband. L'schaber b'hadeh, to connect with him. V'inocham sh'yom d'dachyu, these 50 days of purity, la'ala la'raza da'ama da'asi. And here is where it gets a little bit mystical, to ascend to the world, the secret of the world to come, la'kabla oraisa, and to receive the Torah, the mikra of itza la'bala, and to bring the wife of Knesset Yisrael close to her husband. So it's just, and then I think this is what the Zohar does, it imbues these mitzvahs with a more mystic, with a sort of a very clear, connective nature, Torah Kadosh Baruch Hu. These are here to connect us to God. Every day is a way of, you know, we're sort of steeped in this impurity, but every day is we're yet a bit more pure, and we're approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is like our husband, and we're going to this other world of Kabbalah Satorah. Right, to see so much meaning in every single aspect of Torah and mitzvah observance. And beyond the Zohar, then you have this notion in Hasidus, which I think takes to another level, not just specifically focusing on the process of Pesach Teshuvos specifically, but in general, they see the Sifrei Hasidim see this process as sort of this combination between God gifting us with a certain spiritual inspiration where Hashem does it for us, but that from then on we need to sort of initiate the rest of the process on our own. It has to come from us. Pesach represents this almost spiritual inspiration, this shock of spirituality from God, and then Sfiras HaOmer is where we begin to work on ourselves and grow on our own volition, That's what the Kedushas Levi says. O Yevar, Esfartzen Lachem, Kihine bePesach, and Pesach Ches, Niskala Elukuso, Ayadei Nisim, Nefroa, Sharei La'Avdo. On Pesach, his godliness is revealed through the miracles and wonders that's worthy of serving him. Amen, Hashem Yisbarach, Rota HaGam, Shuma Oro, Tam Lomala, La'Avdo, Shini Anachnu, Chafetzim, Mesoros Hazeh. Hashem wants that even though he awakens and inspires us to serve him from on high, that he also wants us to desire this inspiration. And he goes through a spiritual process in each week, based on the Sfiros. And on the first week, we want his love. And the second, we want his feet, his awe. Teferes. We want him to be glorified through us. Like a father who is glorified by his son. Weeks 5 and 6, we work on Emuna. And the 6 weeks should be connected, which is Yisod, this deep in inseparable connection to his service. And the 7th week, we crown him upon the whole entire world. That after he brought upon us the spiritual inspiration, we need to work on accomplishing all these spiritual levels for ourselves. And I'll leave you with the thought of Me'as Shiloach, which says it, I think, separately, but like almost a different emphasis, which is, Me'as Shiloach looks at it, the Ishbitzer, says, on Pesach, we have this, again, this overwhelming inspiration from God, this spiritual bounty of spiritual forces, but we can't even fully appreciate it yet. It's like too much for us to bear on Pesach. We don't fully understand what happened. And Sfiras HaOmer is sort of taking a day at a time to recount, to think, well, now this happened, to appreciate every aspect of what it meant to become Am Hashem, to become Hashem's nation. And so every day we're counting upon, this is what, okay, so now we appreciate this about being the Am Nevchar, about being Hashem's chosen nation. And again, I think it's reflective not just specifically of this process from Pesach to Shavuos, but just generally and how it goes in life when you receive a sort of inspiration, when you have this amazing experience, how to react to that and make that part of your life and incorporate it into the way that you live every day of life. So all that symbolism, whether the practical, remembering what day of the week it is and what day of the month it is, whether it's praying, reminding ourselves to daven to Hashem for our success, it's a preparation for Matan Torah, removing ourselves from that impurity, and also sort of combining the inspiration we get from on high and the service and the work we do down here, which is out from our own volition. All that is contained within the meaning and symbolism of Sfiras HaOmer. And I think that type of depth and meaning is in every mitzvah. Every single mitzvah is so multi-layered, so full of meaning in different ways and different approaches. And so I hope we can, just like the Sfiras HaOmer, appreciate every single moment of service of Hashem and every mitzvah that we are very lucky that he has given to us.